Trouble in the Dollhouse.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Mattel, the company that makes Barbie dolls, has lost a major court case. Mattel will have to pay $88 million to a company called MGA Entertainment, which makes one of Barbie's biggest rivals. Marketplace's Janet Babin is here live to explain all this. Good morning, Janet.
Hey, Jeremy.
Well, first of all, tell us what this case was all about.
Well, it was really about who owns the idea that became the popular Bratz doll designs. And if you don't know, Bratz are those hip, cheeky dolls. They got the big heads and the pouty lips. And at the height of their popularity about 5 or 6 years ago, these dolls were huge. I mean, they made $1 billion in revenue for their owner, MGA Entertainment. And for a while there, they almost made Barbie irrelevant. And the Bratz dolls were designed by a former Mattel employee while he was still working on Barbie dolls for Mattel. So Mattel had claimed that it owned what this guy drew up. But the employee insisted, hey, he was drawing the Bratz dolls on nights and weekends, so Mattel didn't own them. And the jury here agreed with the designer that Mattel has no claim to the Bratz dolls.
And the jury not only sided with the Bratz owners, it also says Mattel has to pay Bratz $88 million in damages. How did that happen?
That's right. MGA, the Bratz owners, alleged that Mattel had engaged in corporate spying, actually sending moles into toy fairs and pretending to be vendors when actually they were spies working for Mattel. And the jury agreed. It found that Mattel had, in fact, stolen ideas from MGA. And that's where that monetary award comes from.
Marketplace's Janet Babin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The wildfires continue in drought-ravaged Texas. The state's governor, Rick Perry, has proclaimed today through Sunday as days of prayer for rain. Perhaps no one will be praying more than the state's farmers, as Matt Largy reports now from KUT Radio in Austin.
The past 5 years have been hit or miss for Texas wheat farmers.
We've seen two of the worst wheat crops. We've seen two of the best wheat crops, and we've had one that's average.
Mark Welch is an agricultural economist at Texas A&M University. The current drought isn't helping matters.
Well, this year is definitely not going to be a wheat year for Texas.
Steely Fishbacher is with the Texas Wheat Producers Board. She says most of their growing regions haven't had any real rain since September.
One bad year, you could probably make up for it, but if you had more than one back-to-back, that's going to be even harder to recover from.
That's largely because farmers try to manage volatility with crop insurance. But a few bad years and the insurance claims that come with them drives up premiums. It also drives down what insurance pays them for their losses, since that figure is based on their average harvest. Economist Mark Welch.
So in the good years, it helps to run the average up, but we get two or three of these bad years thrown in, it really pulls your production history down.
And with a couple of bad years already behind us, some farmers may be eating their losses come harvest time. In Austin, I'm Matt Largy for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Most major stock markets are closed for Good Friday. Toyota said today it expects to be back up to full production levels in Japan by December. Factories are currently running at half capacity because of parts shortages. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 52 points to close at 12,505.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. On the web at Chevy.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
The Justice Department says BP has agreed to put $1 billion into coastal restoration projects in the Gulf of Mexico, projects like rebuilding marshes and barrier islands. A year after the oil spill, many things in the Gulf still aren't back to normal. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has the story now of a famous Louisiana sandwich and the oysters that go into it.
The oyster po' boy is a New Orleans staple. And the sandwich, loaded up with fried oysters, lettuce, mayonnaise, and tomatoes, was in trouble after the oil spill. A year ago, I asked Charlene Zimmer, owner of Zimmer's Seafood, a New Orleans neighborhood restaurant, about the future of the sandwich.
No longer a po' boy. That's true. It's a rich boy now.
So I went back to see how and if the po' boy, rich boy oyster situation changed for Zimmer. She says for a while, things got really bad.
We've had oysters come from Texas, and at one point we stopped selling oysters because you could only get them from on the West Coast, and we didn't want to fool with that.
For about a month, she had to tell customers she was out. But now, nearly a year after the spill,
prices are still way up there high.
But oyster po' boys are back on the menu. All around New Orleans restaurants, shuckers are back at work, popping, scraping, and nestling oysters on the half shell into mounded piles of ice. And the city was getting ready to tout the oyster's return with a 340-foot homage.
Tomorrow, we're building the world's longest oyster po' boy.
Yule Smith heads the Louisiana Seafood Board.
It's 5,000 oysters, Louisiana oysters. So it's a heck of a sandwich, and we got 30 restaurants that helped to build that sandwich. So I've been asked, do we have enough oysters to do that? I'm like, don't worry about that. We got plenty of oysters.
Plenty of oysters, yes, but not nearly as many as before the spill. Smith says about half the oyster beds were wiped out by the spill in response when the state flushed fresh water into the Delta to keep the oil away. He expects it'll take 2 to 3 years for oysters to recover.
And our biggest challenge right now is more so perception at a national basis with the consumer.
He's working on letting people know that Louisiana seafood is safe to eat, a concern Charlene Zimmer says isn't a factor for her regulars looking to chow down on their favorite, though slightly more expensive, oyster po' boy. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
I'm hungry for an oyster po' boy right about now. And finally, to the world of real estate. Here in L.A., if you can't afford to live in Beverly Hills, you might consider living in Beverly Hills Adjacent, a fancy name concocted by real estate agents for a less fancy neighborhood. In New York, if Soho's out of your price range, what about So-So, south of Soho? Or maybe Dumbo, down under Manhattan Bridge overpass? Well, according to the New York Times, one Brooklyn lawmaker thinks this whole thing is getting out of hand. He's writing legislation now to punish realtors for making up neighborhood names just to boost sales. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media. Work to live or live to work? Whatever the choice, the truth is we're often defined by what we do.
People's relationship to their work is focal in American culture. It is the thing that grounds us.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Work and writing fiction takes on the daily grind. That and the day's business news next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.